Welcome to the show. It's Frank Fontana and Sherry Fontana.
So it's always interesting when you mention me when I'm co-hosting because it's like, what am I supposed to say? Like, no one's in front of me. Hi, everyone.
Yeah,
but it's just awkward for me. But
Pretty simple. Just like you're talking to people.
Yeah, I know.
Sherry and I are filling in for John Williams, who's off today. I think he's scared to come downtown because of the snow, the impending, as our engineer Bob said, Sherry, he's like, are you guys ready for the pending doom that is about to unleash upon us?
No, it's almost May.
I know.
And it's snowing. We have prom. We have sports games, races, everything happening, and it's going to snow.
It's supposed to be spring. You're supposed to be having picnics and frolicking through the fields.
I don't want to spend any more time sitting in the house because of cold weather.
It is depressing. It really is. Hey, Curtis, we're trying to get a hold of somebody at WGN television weather station to see who might be on the clock over there to give us some updates on what's happening, because we're getting all sorts of texts coming in right now. Right now it's snowing in Huntley. They're supposed to start to, by the way, 1 o'clock. Was the goal time that the weather is supposed to get nasty, but it's already happening all over Illinois.
So, which means by 1 o'clock, we'll be driving home in a complete snowstorm potentially?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Good thing we have an SUV.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't deal. I just feel like it's getting worse and worse every year, or we're getting older and less tolerant. I'm not sure which it is.
Or both. How about that? No, I think, listen, it's supposed to be nice. It's May.
I put snow boots away. I put the scarves away. I put gloves away. Like, I'm not prepared. So.
Another text flying in. Been snowing in Belvedere. And so I guess it's happening. The pending doom is now upon us.
Well, be prepared for our children to want to go out and play in the snow later.
They can have a ball. I will watch them through the window. It's so funny when you're an adult, you know, and you look back in your childhood and you say, man, you used to jump in cold oceans. You used to go out in snow with barely any clothes and do all those things that you, as an adult, you're just like, what?
Okay, so that's true. So the kids are excited probably that it will snow and they can play. So it's often our age, potentially.
Yeah.
So let's be excited that it's snowing. Let's go out and play in the snow tonight and be okay with it.
How about I drink a glass of wine while you're out there, and I'll just watch you through the window?
No, not going to happen.
Wow, pictures are coming in. We love it. 312-981-7200. Send us some photos of the pending doom of snowstorm that's coming down on the Illinois area. We have calls coming in. What is this? Is the world ending at the moment right now? Then we just don't know about it?
I don't know. It's serious. I mean, I've lived here my entire life, so I am completely used to this, but... people are freaking out.
But it's not supposed to be. That's why. It's May. It's May.
But we say this every year.
It's almost going to be May. I know. But really, it's not fun. And you know what? There's an article that just came out. We're going to have to take a break already. But which leads us to, you know, everyone getting upset about the weather and upset about politics and upset about the state of the world as it is today. And a new Gallup poll just came out 2 days ago. Where Americans' stress, worry, and anger intensifies greatly in 2018, leading into 2019. And I'll give you the stats on that poll because it's pretty crazy that we as Americans, United States, close to being the number one most stressed out country in the world.
It's true. There are all these articles. We hear this from everyone who doesn't live here, and you can Google this. It's everywhere. Like, Americans
are stressed.
Don't have it right.
Well,
maybe we're off balance.
Maybe you think that, but maybe some of our listeners beg to differ. 312-981-7200 is our number. We'll be talking about that right after this break. It's good to be king. Hey, it's Frank Fontana, Sherry Fontana, sitting in for John Williams.
Happy to be here with you in this lovely, sunny,
warm climate. Non-snowy weather.
Yes. Well, it's about to snow.
Filling in for John Williams here. And speaking of WGN TV, we're going to get an inside scoop of the pending doom of a snowstorm that's about to hit in spring. Mike Hammerneck is joining us from WGN TV Weather Room. Mike, how are you?
Hey, Frank and Sherry. Good. How are you doing?
Oh, man. I wish we were basking in warm weather.
Yeah, this is tough to take. Late April, we're talking a winter storm warning. Maybe the latest winter storm warning we've ever dealt with in the Chicago metro area. In fact, we've only got two other storms that produced over an inch of snow this late in the season. One occurred back in 1940, the other in 1907. So we're sort of in unprecedented territory with the snow that's going to be moving in later on today.
And so, Mike, tell me, I always wanted to know, like, where do you get the information from?
Well, we get it from a lot of sources. A lot of much of it comes from NOAA, the computer model data off from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We also have some in-house computer models that we deal with. But you know, there's as many as 40 or 50 different computer model simulations that we can look at, and wow. So we pick which one we think is the best fits the scenario, and that turns into the forecast for. Simply put, turns into the forecast that you see every day.
So, Mike, is that usually just you put a blindfold on and you like pin a tail on a donkey kind of thing and say, I'm picking this report today?
No. There's definitely some science to it. Some of our models handle certain situations better than others, so right. It takes some experience in knowing which scenario is best to fit for the certain type of situation you have going on. But today's going to be an interesting storm. There's no doubt about it. We're pretty confident on heavy snow over the northern suburbs, in particular Lake and McHenry County. We're pretty confident in the fact that the southern suburbs, especially along and south of Interstate 80, will miss out on most of the real heavy snow, but it's the city and the western suburbs that are the real wild card, because it looks like the rain snow line is going to set up right along the I-88 Eisenhower corridor. So a real wide variety of weather today, but it looks like the northern suburbs are going to bear the brunt of this very late season winter storm.
And so is it true that, so it's not that freezing out right now, so potentially won't freeze to ice, maybe it will kind of just melt as the weather gets warmer, or are we talking like freeze ice storm?
No, it looks like more of a it's real heavy, wet snow, real slushy snow that's going to impact there. We've had a few reports of ice pellets mixing with the rain that's moved in now, but I think the transition to snow will occur over the northern suburbs sometime around 1-2 o'clock, and then that transition will slowly slip south across the area. But a real heavy, wet, heart attack type snow that's going to be tough to move for those folks that see the heaviest snow over the northern half of the Chicagoland area. And it's going to real big flakes, too. We sometimes refer to them as handkerchief-sized flakes.
Wow.
That's the type of snow we're going to see as the heavy, wet snow. The snowflakes actually tend to combine into one these large flakes. So it's going to be interesting out there. I guess a little too interesting if you're ready for spring.
Yeah, this is too
for
interesting
us here in Chicago.
For me. We're getting inundated with texts right now from all over Illinois. Lansing's already getting hit with sleet. We got snow in Crystal Lake.
Well, and we also have one text from 815 number that says, you guys have to attempt to look on the bright side, which is true. So the bright side is May is coming. So in the next few days, it probably will be warm again.
Yeah, and I'm sure this will melt it tomorrow, right, Mike?
A lot of it will. A lot of it will. Not all of it, I think, over the northern suburbs. We'll only make it up into the mid-40s, it looks like, across the northern half of the area. And we will see the sun tomorrow, too, so that'll help a lot. But in the shaded areas, the snow might not melt until perhaps Monday. But, it doesn't stick around very long at this time of year. The sun is so strong. You know, the sun angle right now is equivalent to what we would see in mid-August. So you get any kind of sun on this snow, it is definitely going to whittle away very quickly during the morning and early afternoon hours tomorrow.
Mike, in your experience as a longtime, respected, acclaimed weatherman, how much, in your opinion, does stress come along with weather? Because we're about to talk about this article from the Gallup poll just came out. Americans are literally one of the top most stressed countries in the world. Do you think your environment and weather plays a huge impact into that?
I mean, weather, especially in the Midwest, the winter type weather can play a role in stress. I mean, talk about white knuckle driving. If you're going to be traveling or trying to get around, you can't get where you need to go. You're stuck in an airport. You're on the road and you want to go 60 or 70 miles per hour. You can only go 30 or 40 because of bad road conditions. You know, they refer to that white knuckle driving where you're so stressed out, you're grabbing the steering wheel so tightly.
Cutting off the circulation to your hands.
Yeah. So, certainly there are cases that, weather can definitely stress out people. You know, people get real upset at airports, when the weather impacts. But, you know, when you think about what happens at airports when weather is an impact, it's really for your own safety. There are cases where you really don't want to be in an airplane when the weather is really bad. And that's a reason why we see so many cancellations with bad weather in airlines across the Midwest at this time of the year.
Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for taking the time. Are you on air all day today or half the day?
Yeah, we'll be on CLTV with updates all afternoon long. And Mike Jansen comes in and takes over this afternoon. The next update on WGN will be at 5 o'clock this afternoon. And by then, I think, you know, the snow's going to be going pretty good across northern suburbs by then.
Awesome. Mike, where can people find you on social?
On Twitter. Twitter at Mike Hamernick, M-I-K-E-H-M-E-R-N-I-K. And also on Facebook at WGN Mike Hamernick, who will be posting updates all day long there. Also at the WGN Weather Center. So, yeah, we're gonna be around all day watching this as much as we don't want it to go away. We want it to go away. We'll be keeping an eye on it all day long.
Thanks, Mike. We appreciate it. Stay safe out there.
Sorry, break it, Sherry. Thank you.
All right. We're gonna take a quick break, and when we come back, we're gonna get into this article about America's being the most stressed country in the world and why. When we come back. But now we're stressed out. Wish we could turn back time. Oh, yes. The stress levels are rising as people are preparing for the Snowmageddon 2019 Springtime Edition.
Okay, so let's get to this. This recent article from Gallup.com says that Americans are among the most stressed out in the world. Nearly half, 45%, felt worried a lot, and more than 1 in 5, 22%, felt angry a lot.
Yeah.
So even if the economy is roaring, Americans are stressed out, angry, and worried in the last year than they've ever been in the past. And when asked about their feelings from the previous day, the majority of Americans, 55% in 2018, leading into 2019, had experienced stress during the day.
And
stress.
And it kills. More than anything in this world, more than bad eating, more than cigarettes, more than car accidents, stress is killing people left and right.
Okay, so how much of this is stress versus how you react to stress? This is my question all the time. People talk to me about this all the time. Friends, family. Is it how you react to stress, or is it just the stress around you in general?
My personal opinion, it's how you react, right? Because stress is always going to be there. From the days of cavemen running from dinosaurs, they were stressed, right?
But
their fight or flight system was revved up, and I think it's still revved up in us, and I think that contributes to part of how we deal with stress.
I think you're right, totally. I really do. But I feel like, okay, you're in the house, kids are fighting, you're making dinner, snowstorm, they just want to go outside. It is really your responsibility as a human being to just say, okay, take a deep breath and stay in this zen place as long as you can.
As much as possible.
But now if you're in like Hawaii and you're surfing and it's warm weather and you're eating fresh fruit and the kids are fighting, it's probably a little easier to deal with, perhaps.
Sure. I mean, I think there's so many factors, though. It's economical. It's social media. I think that's a huge contributor to why people are so stressed out today. In fact, this article goes on to say that 55% of Americans who experienced stress, the 55% of Americans who experienced stress was one of the highest rates out of 143 countries studied and beat the global average of 35% by a full 20 points. The U.S. even ties statistically with Greece, which has led to the world, which has led the world on this measure every single year since 2012. What does that say about us as a culture, that we are not a third world country who has no money, who has war and violence and death and poverty and disease? Here in America, the most bountiful place in the world, the most opportunity in the world, yet we are dying of stress.
Honestly, I think the world and the environment has evolved so much quicker than us as humans. And we have taken on too much responsibility, too many expectations, and we're just not built to handle that, really. So let's unplug for a year.
The whole world. Just shut it down.
Unplugging as much as you can within reason. You know, people have to work and provide and educate children. And there's a lot of things that we have to do as a society. But I feel like if there's anything that you could eliminate that causes stress, even on a little, small, tiny level, do it.
So there's a happiness scale. I don't know if you heard this. It's Deepak Chopra talked about it. And
so if I smile at you right now, it's like, am I up on the scale? Like, does it increase?
Yes. See, there's one. I think that definitely plays a part into it.
And the Sean Archer.
Who's Sean Archer?
Sean Archer is this guru who was on Oprah Winfrey's podcast.
The Happiness Prescription.
Oh, the Happiness Prescription. And I do follow him on social media. He's amazing.
Yes.
And he did this study.
So there's three factors.
Yes.
Right? In what they consider happiness. One is environmental.
Yes.
One is reaction. Right? And the third is programming. So those three elements in various portions, I think your environment led to like maybe 15%. Programming was 40, and then the rest is reactive, how we react to life, lifestyle.
But from all the research that we've done, or at least myself, we know that all of your programming comes from such a young age. So do you spend your adult life trying to reprogram then?
Deprogram, absolutely. If it doesn't work for you. I mean, but, you know, we were talking on the way in. You mentioned Jim Carrey, you know, like how his perspective has changed over the years. And if you follow him on social media, you could see he's become kind of this like spiritual gangster. And one of the things he talks about is the fact that, you know, we, when we're born, are instantly begun to be shaped and molded to who our parents think we should be or who society thinks we should be.
Right. I mean, you're given a name, you're given a viewpoint, you're absorbing what your family, right. And you have to live up to these expectations, and you're expected to, you know, potentially be a doctor, be a lawyer, be whatever, you know, your parents want you to be.
Right.
And what if it's just not authentic to who you are inside, and you're pushed so far that you, you know, feel stress and feel a breaking point? But I think the key, and I think that all of these have, you know, good points, but I think the key is really just trying to find a balance that works for you individually. Which I think is not an easy thing to do, but I think it's probably the goal.
Yeah.
But it's tough. I mean, stress is not easy to deal with.
It's not. And that's why most of the world is medicated. And if you're not medicated, you're drinking. And if you're not drinking, you're smoking. And if you're not doing that, you're doing something else. Exercise, over-exercising to really... There's healthy ways. There's therapy. There's things that people do, obviously, that cope with stress. I just think that, you know, at some point, does the compounding factor of external... things like politics and presidencies and social media jealousy. And that's one big thing, too. I think it's changed over the last decade is the fact that most people today have a social syndrome related to what they see on Instagram and what they see on Facebook and causing more stress, more depression. Like, what don't I have because Joe Schmo has a private jet?
Well, as we know, and we talk about this all the time, like social media, it's a slippery slope. I mean, it's a moment in time in somebody's life. And I think as adults, we have the ability to process that and to process our feelings and know that that's the case. But young children don't have that capability, perhaps. And they look at things and say, well, why wasn't I invited to that party? I'm not good enough. And they start internalizing. And it just creates this snowball effect of not having enough and not being good enough.
Yeah.
But we're in it. So, right. So like we could have our children kind of secluded in a bubble as long as we can. But what about when they go out there? I think it's giving them the foundation at home to deal with our current society as opposed to how we want it to be.
Yeah, I agree. 630 text in here, and we'd love to hear your opinion on the topic. 312-981-7200. How do you cope with stress? How do you kind of alienate yourself and create a bubble to not let this affect you? Because, man, I mean, this is causing heart attacks. It's causing, you know, all sorts of internal issues for people and health level. And if you don't get your health stress under control, it will kill you. I mean, it's the number one thing. You walk into a doctor's office, they're always putting that down as one of the symptoms of an illness is stress. You know, so the 630 says human beings are born to worry naturally. If you ask the average person to name three most stressful things in their daily lives and then eliminate them, they would just replace them with three new things.
That's
pretty true.
Yeah.
I mean, it is habitual.
Oh, it's true. So if I think of that right offhand, I think, okay, if my health's intact, if we have money to pay the bills, fine, great. Well, then what will you go to that day? Well, what should we have for dinner tonight? Like, it's always something that you have to
Which goes back to programming, is what we talked about, the three elements. It's programming. Then if you've cleared your plate of every potential external stress and then said, I'm still stressed, then guess what? You got a problem.
So what?
You got a problem that's not
external.
So how
do you distinguish the difference between being stressed and worried about something as opposed to thinking about what you need to do next? Like dinner for the kids, homework.
Two different things. Thinking without applying an emotional or physical response to that thought is one thing. Thinking and attaching worry to it, then create stress.
So that's another thing I have to think about now.
Yes, you have to think about thinking.
As I'm thinking about dinner, am I attaching another worry to it? How is my body language? I mean, it's a lot of work.
It is. And but that being, so there's the difference. Being conscious about life or being unconscious and allowing that thought process where the worry of the worry, I'm anxious to of anxiety. Think about that. People get anxious of getting anxiety. Right? So that's all
anticipate.
That's anticipatory. It's all things that we are creating. We are creating those thoughts that create that response.
Well, let me tell you, I work every day on reprogramming and reprogramming again and again. So,
well, let's continue this conversation. We're going to take a quick break right here. And when we come back, I have some more stats from this Gallup poll that will blow your mind. Welcome back to the John Williams Show. Sitting in for John is Frank and Sherry Fontana. I like your glasses, by the way.
How about the fact that I have to wear glasses in order to see better?
You're getting old, kid.
Well, just for reading, I mean.
But you're aging like fine wine. I might just say that.
Do you really mean that?
I do mean that.
You don't.
You're beautiful. We're talking about this Gallup poll that we just read about. Sherry found this over the weekend, said, hey, we should talk about this, how Americans are basically the most stressed country in the world. And great topics on if you want to chime in, 312-981-7200. And by the way, it just snowed for 30 seconds here at the studio, and now it just stopped. But it looks like it's raining.
Yeah, it's raining, snowing.
Snowing in Gurnee, snowing in Antioch, snowing in a lot of different places, Texas coming in left and right. So this second half of this Gallup poll, it breaks it down to who's the most stressed, worried, and angry among U.S. adults. Okay? This will maybe bring some clarity. So kids age 15, or, you know, teenagers and young adults, 15 to 29, stressed 64%, worry 50%, and are angry 32% of the time. Ages 30 to 49, stressed 65, so not much difference here, 65%, up 1 point from, you know, the 15 to 29, worried 52% of the time, and angry 25% of the time. So they're a little bit less angry, but they're more stressed and worried. At 50 plus, the stress levels go down to 44%, the worry goes down to 38%, and the anger goes down to 16%. Interesting. Now, as it relates to income, this is fascinating. The poorest 20% were stressed 68% of the time, worried 56% of the time, and angry 25% of the time. The 20% richest people in our society are stressed 46% of the time, worried 41% of the time, and angry 22% of the time, only 3% less than the poorest 20%. So you're the richest people in the world. You're still angry as much as the poorest people in the world. What sense does that make?
Well, you definitely don't have the financial worry, but as someone stated earlier in the text, like, you find something else to worry about.
Yeah. Crazy.
So I don't think it's only America, though. Like, this is
global epidemic.
It is. I mean, I found this article. This kind of boils my
bubble.
But it's from the LA Times, and it talks about how they're forming clubs to teach young boys to be alpha males. Okay. So they're saying that 24 boys gather in Beijing Park to be transformed into alpha males. A reluctant winter sun casts silver light between cold shadows. The wind bites, and they're saying that even young boys, young as 7 years old, are preparing to become alpha males and to become tough and macho.
And it says here that they actually strip these boys down to their underwear and they make them run in the cold. One mother watches and she's worried, but she wants her son to grow up to be a macho male because there's so much feminism in society. And it says, if you're going to be promoting these effeminate figures, Tang says, it's a calamity for our country. How does that make you feel, Sherry?
I will take a deep breath. It upsets me. And I've also done a lot of research on this, too, because I know that there's this old school philosophy of, like, your son falls and it's like, get up, toughen up, move on. Like, I know you have to prepare boys for the real world. But at the same time, I think it is more important to let young boys feel what they feel, process their emotions, cry if they want to, and be able to learn how to navigate those feelings in order to prepare for the world. I think it's way more important. People don't agree, but I do think it's important.
I agree on some level. I do agree that there is an over... I don't know how to say it properly or politically correct, but I think there's an over...
You can baby your son too much.
Softening of the male stereotype, the male archetype, so to speak, you know, in our country, because A, you really can't say anything in today's world without getting lambasted for it. You can't be alpha male because people see you as a, you know, feminist pig or whatever. You know, I think that that definitely is a real statement. The Me Too movement, anything that a male does today is under a microscope. And of course, men can't be true men of the 50s anymore and the 40s and different times, different philosophies. I agree 100%.
Well, I think that, you know, way back when the world started and we're talking about like cavemen, and yes, they had to go out and get food, maybe because at times they were physically stronger and women were bearing children. So I get that concept and where that came from. But I think that emotions and being in touch with those emotions and being able to process that and feel, I think that just kind of came along with that stereotype, and I don't think it maybe should have. I mean, if a man's going out there and making, and you know, making a living and providing, is he not allowed to come home and you know, talk about emotions and how hard it is? Like,
I definitely think a balance is great. I definitely think I consider myself alpha, but emotionally in touch with myself. And my ego does pop up sometimes, but I try to keep it in control. I think that's the devil. It's like if you are alpha and your ego is out of control, that's a bad problem. If you're alpha and you're providing and you're, you know, protecting and doing the things that, you know, typical quote unquote male role is or was. But let's hear what the people have to say.
I would love to.
Let's talk to Scott. Hey, Scott, thanks for calling. What's your what say you on the topic? Hey, Scott.
Yes. Yes. I was wondering, you're talking about, you know, parents having their young boys act like men.
Yes.
And then now you have parents nowadays who, you know what, I'm going to hold off putting a gender on the birth certificate of my child. Where do we draw the line and we say, you know what, men are men, women are women.
Yeah,
if you choose, if you're a man and you choose to say, hey, I want to identify as a woman, that's fine. But why does society have to say, well, I can't talk about men and women anymore?
Yeah, I agree with you, man.
Because society cannot keep their emotions in check, and they feel like they have the right for maybe their own insecurities to project onto the world what they think that they, you know, perhaps should do. And it's true. I mean, if you're at an age where you can actually decide that and feel that, great. But from birth, I mean,
Well, let's face it, though. I mean, honestly, this comes down to societal pressure into politics. Then politicians execute laws and govern that. So who really is doing the meddling? The government? You know, I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, are they the ones saying, hey, no, you can't say, you know, put a male or female moniker on a birth certificate? Well, why? Because you got pressure from everyone else, because 50 years ago, this wasn't even a conversation.
You know? You can put a male or female in the Olympics. You have the men and women's basketball team. Why do you put a moniker on that then? At what point do we say, hey, we are men, we are women? I mean, scientifically, with your chromosomes, you are one or the other. You're not in the middle. You're one or the other. So
I agree with you, Scott.
Why do we do that? What, you know, if that's the point, we should get rid of men and women's teams. We should get rid of men and women's everything. And at what point, it's going to come down to the point where we're so worried about offending each other, we're just going to have to hum to each other so we don't make a wrong statement.
You are so right, my friend. Thanks for calling the show. I appreciate it.
You guys have a great day.
Thank you, buddy. I mean, it's a fiery topic. We can get into this. Unfortunately, we don't have too much time to continue the conversation. But man, let's table this for another one, because I can go on about this, and I'm sure a lot of people can. But we're going to lighten things up a little bit. Coming up after the news here, we have one of good friends from our neck of the woods, LaGrange, Illinois, Josie Dunn. She's a upcoming songwriter, singer-songwriter, just signed to a major label. She's out there touring.
Super talented. So excited to talk to her. I can't wait to hear her story and just what she's doing right now.
Yeah, and she just dropped her latest single called Same, and we're going to be debuting it here for the first time on WGN Radio, and we're excited about it. So let's get some news done, and we'll talk to Josie right after that. Welcome back to the show. I'm Frank Fontana. That is
Sherry Fontana.
Sitting for John Williams here till 12 o'clock. It might be cold, snowy, and nasty outside, but our next guest is bringing the sunshine in the studio. We're being joined with hometown girl, Josie Dunn. Josie, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's so great to hear your voice.
Yes. Hey, Josie. So excited.
Long time no see. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing it, man. We're doing it. Not as big as you are, girl, but we're doing it. Josie, just to give a little background here, Josie Dunn is a singer-songrwriter born and raised in LaGrange, Illinois, hometown girl who's done good for herself. She's she's signed with a major label. She was originally with Warner Chappell, publishing in 2014, writing with some of the biggest names out there, and finally signed to her own deal with Atlantic Records. Huge deal. Her hit Old School went out and blew up on the charts. That's one of my favorite songs, Joe, just so you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And then you're releasing your new hit that I'm already calling a hit because I love it. Same. We're gonna play it for the first time here on WGN Radio after our first break here, Josie. But let's talk. What have you been up to?
Oh, I'm in the middle of my biggest tour yet so far. So it's been a lot of fun. I just was out with an artist named Ben Rector. And we played all across the country, which was really cool. I'd never played on the West Coast before, so we just got back from a run doing a bunch of shows on the West Coast and all across the country. And then I'm also in the middle of touring with Julia Michaels, who's a great pop artist. And we've actually got a show in Chicago coming up tomorrow.
Oh, we're going to see you. Sherry and I are going to be there. I can't wait.
Oh, perfect.
I cannot contain the excitement. So are you just, like, excited and happy? I mean, I know it's a lot of work, and, you know, you put a lot of effort into this as well, but are you just, like, feeling it right now?
Blown away by your own success?
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. I mean, I feel like this year has been really cool, in particular just the beginning of this year, just because it's a lot of first time of things, you know. It's like my first time on a longer tour like this, and my first time on the radio on WGN. So
how awesome is that? We're giving your first experience on radio. That's so awesome.
Yeah, so there's a lot of cool little moments that are happening in these past couple months that have just been like, I'm pinching myself. It's really awesome.
Josie, I remember, because we Sherry and I both know your parents for a while, Marty and Marcy. What's up, Marty? Some of the coolest people in the world. We love them. And, you know, you were raised in such a creative environment and supportive with your parents. And I know you always give shout outs to them for the support they gave you growing up. But I remember specifically sitting in the front room of your house, and your dad's like, "You got to hear my daughter play."
Mm-hmm.
And we were there doing a big event. I was doing my book just came out. And your parents were hosting a party for us for Pillars or something. And I remember sitting there, and I didn't know what to expect. I never heard you before, and I remember turning to Sherry, going, "Holy bleep! This girl is amazing."
We were truly blown away from day one, and we have been following your story, watching your videos. Like, we love you. You're so talented.
Oh, that's so... Thank you guys so much. I remember that, too. I remember I was so nervous to play in front of both of you. Like, I was
really?
Like, oh my gosh, I'm playing in front of this Frank Fontana, the star Frank Fontana.
Come
I was like,
on.
So nervous. I remember so specifically. I was so nervous.
You were so good, Joe. Like, you were just raw, and you were playing the banjo. What were you playing, banjo or the ukulele or something?
Probably the ukulele, yeah.
Yeah, ukulele, and you were just, like, mixing songs on the spot, and I seriously was, I told your dad, I said, I want to represent her. And he's like, okay, and obviously, I was joking, but that's how, you know, like, I saw the passion and the potential in you, and here you are. You know, like, and I've been following you on Instagram, and Sherry and I always, like, you know, we check in with each other. I'm like, have you seen Josie? Did you see Josie's latest picture? Like, how cool is this? Like, we live in the same town. We grew up watching this girl, like, you know, rise to fame. And, you know, Sherry's, you know, privately her own little, like, you know,
music junkie
and dreamer of, you know, singing her own songs, and she writes and stuff, and she's, you know, got her own questions.
Well, I mean, and for someone who has always wanted to take their music to the next level, truly, like, what does that really look like? Like, what does it take, and how do you get started? Because Frank's always like, you just got to do it. And I'm like, but I need a plan. So, like, what does it look like?
It is tough because, I mean, my answer is similar to yours, Frank. It's like, you just kind of do it, and then stuff moves forward. It's so hard to describe, and everybody's path looks different and takes a different amount of time, you know? I think that's what I'm learning so much is, like, everybody's road is totally different.
Sure.
And there's no right answer.
There's
but
no, like, the blueprint.
Way, yeah, there's no blueprint. The way that I did it was I just kind of went around to all the different bars and restaurants and stuff in LaGrange when I was in middle school, and just kind of said to everybody, all the owners of these different bars and restaurants and the people that I knew that kind of put on the events around town, and said, like, hey, I'll play for free at anything. Just book me and I'll play covers for 2 hours and, you know, whatever. I just want to play shows. And it was from that I just started kind of booking gigs, and then people kind of knew me, like, around town as, like, the music girl. And it just kind of moved forward. I started writing songs and playing more shows in front of more people. And that's kind of, I think, how it started and progressed. So how I did it. But everybody's steps are different, you know?
And Josie, we want to talk more about it and debut your new single, Same, that's going to be for the first time playing on any WGN airwaves when we come back from this break. So hold on real quick, and we'll get some sponsorships out of the way and get right into it. And then Sherry has some more of her own questions she'd love to talk to you about.
Oh, I love it. I can't wait.
All right, we'll be right back. Hi, Josh.
Hey.
Hey.
I'm doing great, but I am looking out my window at a snowstorm right now, and that is bumming me out.
You wish you're on the West Coast right now, don't you?
Yeah, I wish I was back in California.
Are you back at home with mom and dad right now?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm here because the show tomorrow. So
sick. I love it. We can't wait. It's going to be
insane. I know. I can't believe it. I was riding my bike around yesterday, and now it's snowing. I just can't. It's only in Chicago that the weather is like this. It's insane.
It isn't. We were just talking about this. It is insane. And on Monday, it will probably be like 80 and sunny. So
yeah, beautiful sunny day. You'll be able to go to the pool and hang out. But today, there's a snowstorm. It's so funny. Only here.
And, you know, I want to go to your music here because we have X amount of time and I want to make sure we get to your single. But what I want to do say about you and the way you came out in your music and in your stardom right now, and you could just see it. Like, you know, there's certain people in entertainment where you could look at a trajectory and go, this girl in 3 to 5 years is going to be the next big thing. And I feel, Sherry and I both feel that for you, and your music says it all. Your brand and personality, though, which is like you kept your quirky coolness that you've always had, that since I met you, you were always Josie. You stayed Josie, and you didn't let the industry change you.
Yeah, like just this authentic, genuine, you know, charismatic person who, as long as you stay that way and, you know, drive forward, I feel like, I mean, just that talent and your drive, sky's the limit.
Exactly. So tell us tell us about Same, the new track.
Same is a song I am so excited about. It's a song that I wrote with some friends, and it's about, like, telling somebody that you love them for the first time and how that can be kind of awkward and not always go as planned.
Let's listen to a little snippet of it now.
Sounds good.
Wasting time, push the car through aisle 4. Like a scene, like a dream, yeah, you pull me closer now. Like nobody's around. Mm-hmm. Something that you wanna say on your tongue now.
Man, that sound is so good.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. So are you?
I brought the ukulele back out.
I totally. You opened with it. It's fantastic. Do you play it on stage?
Yeah, I do. The same old ukulele from the first time I saw you, actually.
That is awesome.
So, Josie, like, before you perform, do you get nervous? Like, are you channeling that, like, excitement, nerves? Like, what's the energy you feel before your live performances?
I get a little nervous. It depends on the show. In this last tour, I think just doing it so many times, I got out of the nervousness. Like, I worked my way through that. So now I don't get as nervous, but I'm so excited.
So more excited. Well, and are you ever like worried? Are you so good now and so like channeled and dialed in that like you don't worry about like singing off key? You know, because I listen to Adele sometimes and she's even like mentioned in her interviews, you know, I was so flat when I was singing that song. But of course, she's so amazing. You kind of look past that. Like, do you get nervous about singing off key or are you just in your zone?
Oh, I get so nervous, especially like when we were playing in Colorado or somewhere that was more elevated. My throat was like so dry. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends on where you are. Like you pick up little things. Or like, I didn't have enough water today. My throat's going to be dry. You know, I get nervous about little things like that for sure.
Yeah, it's like live and learn, right?
Yeah, totally. Live and learn.
Hey, Josie, so you've been on the road with some pretty big names so far, and you played some awesome venues. Are we allowed to say that you're going to be at Lala yet, or did I just spill the beans, or is that...
I can't say anything about that.
Okay. I heard rumors, maybe.
Talking about.
I heard potential rumors that might be happening, but don't quote me. I'm just a guy.
Well, time will tell.
If I can find my way to Lala, I will be there in a heartbeat. I've went like 7 years in a row. I've been growing up going to Lollapalooza. I love it there.
Well, we'll see if we can pull some strings for
maybe
you.
Maybe I can go for the first time because I've never been there. So
I think we have tickets. So we're covering Lala for my podcast and stuff, so we'll be there. It'd be great to see you on stage.
Oh, if I'm there, let's connect. I would love to see you guys.
You know, it's funny. We get some texts and saying that I can actually understand the words that the girl is singing. What a concept.
What a concept.
I mean, think about it, because a lot of the music today, like even like, the, you know, and I listen to everything, hip hop, whatever. Most of the rap today, you can barely understand what it's just what it sounds like. You're listening to somebody humming.
I don't know if they're like really young people think that. I think it's us being.
Is our hearing going? I don't know. I mean,
perhaps, but a lot of the kids like it. But I don't know.
You spend so much time on the writing the lyrics, though. It's like, I want people to hear them. I spent all the time writing
exactly.
them, you know?
Josie, what experience thus far to you has truly blown your mind? Like, that is the moment for you.
I played at the I've sung the national anthem at the Cubs game before, and I'm such a huge Cubs fan that's one of the biggest things for me. Like, it's just to be on Wrigley Field singing is like the coolest thing that I could ever do because I'm such a massive Cubs fan.
Aren't you going to do that again soon?
Yes, I'm doing that on May 7th.
May 7th, awesome.
Well, the game against the Marlins.
And tomorrow night you're playing at House of Blues, which I think is sold out already, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Opening up for Julia Michaels. We'll be there cheering you on. And then the track and the rest of your music, where can people find it, and what's your social media and website and all that stuff?
Yeah, you can find Same on any digital streaming site or iTunes, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get music, Pandora, whatever, it's on there. And my Instagram is just my name, Josie Dunn, Dunne.
Folks, go follow Josie. You will fall in love with her like we did. She's a fantastic reel, as you can hear, just as real as it gets. And you deserve every ounce of fame you got, girl.
Oh, thanks so much, guys. It's so great to talk to you.
Can't wait to see you tomorrow, Josie.
You gotta do something like wiggle your ear or pick your nose or something to let us know that.
Yeah, that's nice. Don't listen to Frank.
We'll have a signal. Maybe not pick your nose, but we'll do some kind of...
That could be such a viral moment, though. I mean...
Don't do it, Josie.
Josie Dunn caught with her finger up her nose.
Yeah, that's nice.
On stage.
On TMZ.
That's why you're not representing her, by the way.
Exactly. My tactics would have been too good. That's what it is. All right, Josie, we'll let you get going. Thanks so much, and we look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. I'll see you tomorrow.
You got it. Bye-bye. Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, you're not a good...
I'm not a good idea guy like that.
No, not so
much.
But
I would get traction.
It's a good idea, but you know...
People would be talking about it all over the internet.
Well, she would definitely get pressed, but I don't know how, you know, positive and popular. So.
Oh, boy. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be getting into a really interesting topic here, and also paying tribute to one of our dear friends and Chicago icon, Dominic DeFrisco. He's going through a little bit of battle here, and we need some prayers and love to be sent to his family and his way. But we'll talk about that when we come back.
Feels like love.
Yeah, baby.
Oh, gosh.
I know. I'm no Josie Dunn.
You sound good, though.
Yeah, thanks. It's Frank Fontana, Sherry Fontana, sitting in for John Williams this morning. We're here till 12 o'clock. Amy Guth coming up right after that for the business lunch. We've got some fun texts coming in,
we
huh, Sherry?
We are. So someone just texted from the 708 number, love hearing Frank and Sherry on the radio. They could be the next Don, Wade, and Roma.
Who's that?
I'm not going to lie. I had to look up who they were.
Yeah, and?
But they were a radio host together, a couple.
Husband and wife?
Yeah.
Huh, that's nice. Thank you for that. And the 815, Frank and Sherry, we're wishing you were on weekdays, too. So real, refreshing, smart, and fun. Love your show. Oh, thank you, folks. That's really nice. Yeah, we appreciate that. We're just, you know, just husband and wife doing our thing. Just doing some radio.
Yeah, it's me.
Speaking of husband and wife, Sherry and I hosted a show. I don't know if you guys watched it on A&E Television, an FYI network called Downtown Shabby, where Sherry and I worked together with our family and renovated old vintage homes.
How about the first time they came to our house to do the very first shoot? Not for the show, but just for that commercial.
Oh, yeah.
I was in panic mode.
Panic mode, yeah.
Like, but after that, I was fine. But that first day, I mean, I remember our neighbors and our close friends. Like, remember Julie coming over, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah.
And everyone on set knew, because they were like probably coming to you behind my back saying like, what the heck is she doing?
No, they all loved you.
I mean, but I figured it out quick.
It was your first go at television.
I mean, yeah. I am who I am. You know, it's like, yeah, no, take it or leave it.
You did great. And, you know, but through that experience, we were stressed at times trying to, you know, handle the front of the camera stuff and then dealing with real renovations behind the camera. But you know, who also was stressed was the couples engaged in the makeovers.
I mean, we were dealing with it and seeing it firsthand.
Pregnant people, you know, traveling couples and trying to get through a renovation. And, you know, we talk about this often, how the potential slippery slope of home renovation leading to divorce.
Well, and because I feel like when you are actually thinking about renovation, you're thinking about, like, the kitchen, how it looks. But you're not realizing that, like, you are moving everything out, clearing everything out, moving your kitchen into the living room, and it can get tough.
Your life gets turned upside down. And this goes back to some of the topics we're talking about at the top of the show about stress levels. And in this article, it says up to 90% of Americans reporting some levels of stress in their lives. It's no wonder that the outside stress of the world would not mix well with the stresses of renovating a home, creating a power keg within a marriage. A powdered keg in within a marriage. I don't know what that means. A powdered keg could spell long-term problems and conflict in any relationship that is left after the project is complete.
Well, it's basically saying that, you know, before you enter in this commitment, you need to be aware that there's many pitfalls. According to the survey, 1,400 people conducted by the Home Design Brand House, 12% admitted to considering a separation or divorce.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I've done thousands of renovations throughout my career, on camera, off camera. We've done a ton on camera. And you could see it. And, you know, it's no joke. I do. And if anyone out there, I'd love to hear if you've actually gone through this and have gotten divorced because of a renovation. 312-981-7200.
And then maybe got back together after the renovation was completed.
Yeah, it's always nice to remain hopeful. You know, a lot of times it just puts a massive strain on it because people underestimate what goes on during a renovation, especially if you're choosing to live through it. Now, smart clients who can afford to actually say, hey, we're going to go rent a place for 3 months, like one of our recent clients did. And that was much better, but still stressful, right? Because you're dealing with just a change in your environment.
Yeah, like deadlines, schedules. Nothing really ever stays on schedule when it comes to contractors and work because, you know, there's things that happen.
Absolutely.
And then finances and differences in design opinion. So,
yep. Pitfalls are usually the top three pitfalls, in my opinion, just based on my experience. Number one is underestimating the cost of a renovation, underestimating the time of the renovation, underestimating the communication or lack thereof with your general contractor.
Well, and what if you have the funds and the communication, but you really don't agree on your design style?
That's also another one.
Which is where you come in, because we do it a lot, where you're like, okay, let's you know, compromise and
navigate that conversation.
But everyone does not have a Frank.
This is true. It's unfortunate. But no, listen, seriously, some of these things can be avoided. You know, you could totally avoid a divorce if the communication between you and your spouse prior to the renovation is absolutely clear and concise, realistic, not based on fantasy, because I think that's what you get lost in, the idea of, oh my God, we're gonna have this amazing renovated home with a big kitchen and yada yada yada. You're thinking to the end result without thinking the process through and realizing that, you know what, this stuff can be stressful.
Well, and having someone to mediate, like, you know, and hiring someone to actually do that and, you know, maybe pull all the resources and all the options within your budget so you're not having to, you know, have that fight and that conflict to actually, you know, do the research as well as picking what you want.
I believe one of the TV stations, I think it was A&E or something, actually did a show about divorce design. Like, that was the entire concept, that two people were actually going through a home renovation. During it, they got separated and they were still dead set on completing it through a separation and divorce. That had to be ridiculous.
I remember when we moved into our house in LaGrange, we had Luca. I was pregnant with Lola.
Yep.
And I will say, I didn't get stressed about that.
No, you were good.
I was just kind of,
I think you were distracted. You're worried about the baby.
Probably worried about something, but yeah, I mean, that part was easy for me. I mean, I come down the stairs sometimes and you've like moved our living room to our dining room.
Yeah.
And
but you're used
rearranged
to it. You
everything.
With me for
but
long
I like
enough.
That, so yeah. it's fine with me.
Let's talk for some of our listeners here. 312-981-7200. If you've gone through a renovation and maybe got divorced or survived the renovation and you have some tips you want to share with our listeners, 312-981-7200. Let's talk to Robin. Hey, Robin, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Do you have a potential renovation slash divorce story because of it?
Well, I hope not divorce. Let's just say that. We are actually not renovating, but building. And we're doing it remotely from Illinois here down in Florida.
What part of Florida?
And Cape San Blas.
Okay.
Which is the little peninsula that's off of, going right in the panhandle. It's gorgeous,
yes.
But it was right where Hurricane Michael went through.
Yeah.
And, and we were right next to Mexico Beach. So we started before the hurricane, and it's been over a year now that we've been trying to build this house. And it has been just one thing after another, and then the hurricane hit, and we lost all of our stuff that we had brought down there.
Oh,
and
man.
Sorry to hear that.
It was just crazy.
So, Robin, how did you find a way to... Because I'm going to imagine through this, you probably had arguments with your better half or other half and disagreements about one thing or another. How are you guys navigating this process?
Well, I think one of the biggest things is we just have to stay on the same page as much as possible. I mean, we have to stay as a united front because we're trying to get a hold of, people down there that are not really readily available. And, we have those days when we're not, but I think to keep thinking about the, greater good and what this the ending result is going to be, that we really hope we can get to that. And actually, you get to a point where you're so far into it that you don't have much choice but to just keep plugging,
I have an idea, Robin. You're in Illinois right now, right?
Yes.
Look out the window and then think about Florida.
Yeah.
I think you'll be good.
Exactly. That is actually, we keep looking at, let's look into a pool. Let's look into, anything that'll make us think, we're going to be able to get away from here at some point. So that would be nice.
So your number one piece of advice would be communication. Just make sure you're over communicating about everything.
Exactly. And support. Just keep supporting each other because it's just not going to, get finished otherwise. And you really do need to money, whatever the case may be. You just got to be able to keep supporting each other and listening to each other for sure.
Great advice, Robin. Thanks so much and stay safe out there.
Okay. Thanks. You guys too. Thanks.
You got it. Bye. Oh, man, some good points there. At the end all be all, I think, if your relationship is in a rocky place before you start the renovation, you can only imagine that it's probably going to get worse. So, this article recommends maybe seeking a little therapy prior to the renovation to make sure that your footing is properly, no pun intended, set right.
The good thing is, if you make it through, you can make it through anything, right?
That's what Lou Manfredini said to us.
He did.
That's good advice from Lou. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. When we come back, we're going to be doing a real special shout out to a good friend of ours, a good friend of Chicago, a longtime legend, Dominic DeFrisco, who's for years hosted the Columbus Day Parade on WGN TV, has been a true warrior for rights for all that live here in Chicago. You may or may not have heard of him, but at some level, I'm sure he's impacted your life in here as you live here in Chicago. We'll be right back.
And a special night honoring men who help survivors of domestic abuse, WINGS, holding its first ever Voices of Courage fundraiser. Dominic DeFrisco was honored for his work with WINGS, which is Illinois' largest not-for-profit provider of emergency and transitional services.
Oh, wait a minute. Speaking of Mr. Dante himself, Dominic DeFrisco with Ryan Schiavarini.
Dominic is iconic. I don't know of any other man who represents the city as well as Dominic. And Gina Giorgetti's is really, I know his office is on Randolph, but we all really know where his office is, and it's here.
Dominic DeFrisco is one of a kind. There is simply no one like him, and I don't say that lightly. Dominic is the guy that you go to
when you don't know where else to turn. He knows everybody. I mean, Kevin Bacon's got nothing on Dominic DeFrisco. Everybody has a connection to Dominic in the city, in the state, nationally. He's the connector.
Don't stop doing what you're doing, because if you do, a lot of people's lives and souls will be a lot less richer. The more people you touch on a daily basis, the better we all become. And continue teaching the lessons that you do, because we all love you for it.
And that is clips from a video that paid homage to Dominic DeFrisco, longtime Chicago liaison to the Italian-American community. He's worked with Edelman Public Relations for years on the committees of cultural awareness and troubleshooting for city issues for us here in Chicago and around the nation. And sadly, Dominic is currently in the hospital right now, facing some challenges, and we need a massive prayer circle and energy force to kind of send his way. And my wife's family and my wife personally has been friends with Dominic for decades, and he's been a mentor to her for years, so she'd like to just kind of say her two pieces.
Dominic has impacted the lives of so many people around the world, and he is honestly one of the most important, influential people in my life, and since a child. And the love I have for him and respect runs deep, and I love him so much and wish him well, and are sending him tons of prayers and love.
Yeah, and if you've never had the opportunity to meet Dominic, or if you've watched over the years of the Columbus Day parades, you would know Dominic. He's the happy, boisterous voice of the parade, who knows everybody and
every single person who talks about him.
Yeah,
like it's not just a few people know. To know him is to love him, and yeah, every person who talks about him and who mentions his name says the same thing. Like he is just. He's a charming, intelligent, kind man whose legacy will live on for generations, and he's one of a kind.
Yeah, he's fighting a big fight right now, folks. Like we said, if any love and energy you can send our way, his way, would be awesome. His daughter, Nina Mariano, his nephew, Pasquale, grandson Pasquale, all standing by his side.
Yeah, and his beautiful wife Carol.
Yeah.
And I remember quickly, Dominic, his family is his life, and he would always tell me, "I'm so obsessed with my grandson. Is it weird that I watch him when he's sleeping? Like that, I'm so obsessed with just watching him and loving him so much." And I would tell him, "No, a little bit, but not so much." So I mean, the love for his family is something that I've never seen before, and that I just admire and think is a wonderful thing.
Yes, we wish him and his family well, and again, just say a big prayer for him that he gets out of the hospital and gets to see another day. A moment for Dominic. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we'll talk to Amy Guth, who'll be joining us in studio to talk about what she's got coming up on the Business Lunch. We'll be right back.